You're listening to By Yahweh Design with your host, Pastor Dan. And now, once again, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this one-hour live radio broadcast coming to you via RealityRadioNetwork.com. We dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the world. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Tonight is the 8th of July, year 2004, Thursday evening, and we've entitled tonight's broadcast, The Immigration Invasion, Part 14. Our guest is Frosty Woldridge from Colorado, and welcome to the program, Frosty.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Pastor Dan. Thank you very much.
All righty. The call-in number tonight is 260-356-2611. And again, that is 260-356-2611. If it's busy, please try back. And when you do get a chance to call in, please make sure you speak up and get plenty of volume into the headset so we can hear you. If you have access to email, you can email a question to the station at this web address, steve@stevemelching.com. And again, that is steve@stevemelching, MELCHING.com. We also would ask that you consider helping us out with funding for the airtime. And you can send a donation to By Yahweh Design, in care of, C/O, in care of, Post Office Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, and that's with a V, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. And our past programs are located at www.archiveondemand.com, and again, that is archive. ondemand.com, and that is a subscription site, and all the details for signing up are on the web page. Okay, Frosty, your article recently that you put out, The Breaking Up of America, was, explosive, actually. I mean, it's stuff that I've known about for a long time, but it's wonderful to see men with your kind of background and caliber putting up articles like that, and especially when it references people like Tom Chittum in his book, Civil War II. You want to get into that article just a little bit before we go on?
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Dan.
Okay.
I want to thank the audience for their support. I'm getting hundreds of emails each week now.
Good.
And it's American citizens wanting direction, and I'm glad to report that the final galleys just went out this evening for the production of Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. 32 chapters, the last 12 months of my life, 14, 15-hour days, 6 days a week, research, and some tremendous input from American citizens on how to save America, the last chapter, chapter 32.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had Robert B. Dickerson, a former White House historian, is so concerned about this country that he has offered to review the book. So has J. Grant Swank, a writer for Mish News, www.michnews.com. And I mean to tell you, there are tens of thousands. You can't believe what I'm receiving each week now. Of people who are ready for this book, and it is most exciting. I'm probably going to go on a U.S. tour, all cities, TV stations and radio stations. There are quite a few radio station hosts, George Putnam, Tom Maher, even the liberals, Barry Farber, Bob Grant up in New York City are all ready to launch this book. And so we're going to have a major, major discussion in this country. I gave a speech today to the local Kiwanis. I speak at Kiwanis, and my gosh, they just jumped out of their seats. If the audience like right now would like to go to michnews.com, that's michnews.com, that's most in-depth, concise, honest news and commentary, I have the second part of the Anchor Babies Born in the USA enormous taxpayer cost. It's already posted tonight, but it's for tomorrow, June the 9th. If you want to get there, a registered nurse, Stephanie Gabbard, and I wrote this piece, researched this piece. It's part of a four-part series. And when you read this thing, it's going to curl your taxpayer wallet's ears.
Well, you know, people sooner or later have to understand that, you know, all these things that are going on, the immigration invasion is certainly important, but there's a lot of things going on, and all of them can be traced back to our unlimited funding of government projects. I mean, if you think about it, if they didn't have our taxpayer dollars for a lot of these shenanigans that they're pulling, they wouldn't be able to do it. And here is where we've fallen down, I think, as a Christian nation. The scriptures tell us to be good stewards of our money, meaning we are responsible for what these people do with our money. And Americans have been brainwashed to think that their job is to work and slave away and send a blank check to Washington every April, and then that's it. They don't ever check on what it's going for, and it's funding a lot of these idiotic things that are going on.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, I've talked to a number of people in high places, and what it gets down to, it's like a pro football player who all of a sudden is working his way through college or has come out of the ghetto and or inner city, and he has now just signed a $68 million contract for 6 years, like the one basketball player, Boozer, that just signed a $68 million contract. They figured out that he makes almost $10,000 every time he shoots the basket.
That's incredible.
And anyway, I talked to some pro athletes, football players for the Denver Broncos several years ago, and they just said, when all of a sudden you have gone from virtually no money to all of a sudden getting $25,000 paychecks every 2 weeks, you have so much money, you don't even know what to do with it. Well, if you look at the stewards of the American taxpayer money, if you'll notice in the news last night, a falsification of records by a former U.S. Marine, he engaged the Defense Department for a $66 million contract, and he had absolutely no background. He had fraudulently claimed all sorts of medals and honors and so forth in combat in Vietnam, and in fact, he hadn't. And no one checked him, and they just gave him a $66 million contract for some kind of whatever it was. And now, of course, he has flown the coop and is in Australia, and they're trying to track him down. But what it shows you is that here are human beings in high places that all of a sudden have not millions but billions of dollars and the authority to send out that money and award contracts. And, of course, you've heard of the $400 toilet seats.
Mm-hmm.
And those things happen, and they're true. The fraud in the U.S. government is beyond extraordinary. And so that is exactly what's been happening, and our tax dollars are paying for it. And when you all get to this, I hope somebody's just jumping on the Internet right now and going to themishnews.com for Thursday night and just look for that title. It's about three down, or five down. Anchor Babies, Born in the USA, Enormous Taxpayer Costs, Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Gabbard and Frosty Wooldridge. You read that piece, and we can discuss it later after we start working on the one that I did 2 days ago. And you're just not going to believe. And the French economist Frederick Bastiat said, the unseen is more expensive than the seen. And that's what's happening across this country. American taxpayers do not see what is happening underneath all the skullduggery that's going on in Washington, but it is happening. And boy, I'm just about to write a piece, some information I got about the lowering of our wages here in this country that was in Business Week magazine. I'm going to do a piece that will publish next week, probably in WashingtonDispatch.com. And, you cannot believe the kind of poverty we're getting driven into by the higher-ups. Essentially, the corporations are destroying the middle class of America. And the real crisis here is that when you don't have a middle class, you either have the high class or you have the low class. And what the great strength of this country has been is the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the bedrock of this country, And we are losing the middle class right now through this incredible incursion into our lives and into our economy by the third world. So, yeah, let's go first. We can do two tonight if possible. Let's go on that coming breakup of America, part one. And for those who want to go to the Washington Dispatch, it was on July 7th, which is on Wednesday. I was introduced to this author, a former Vietnam War veteran, highly decorated, named Chittum. And this man, Thomas W. Chittum, wrote a book in 1996 called Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. And I was incredulous. How could your own country break up? We're Americans. This country is so strong. It's so powerful. And so I didn't think much of it, and of course, until I was in Washington, D.C. last fall, and I listened to the speech by former governor, Colorado Governor Richard Lamb, when he gave his 8 points on how to destroy America. And, of course, I wrote that for the Mish News, and it got published in quite a few languages around the world right now because it's happening to many other countries. Holland, Norway, Belgium, France is being overrun, England, and several other countries such as Australia, although they've been blocking it pretty much at this point. Holland's now shutting down their borders, and several other countries.
Isn't it interesting, Frosty, that every nation you're talking about originally was a Western European or Caucasian nation?
Oh, that's exactly right.
How come it isn't happening to all the other nations?
Well, I think probably self-evident.
Oh, okay.
And you make the case.
Okay. I just wanted to point it out.
And the one aspect of this thing is that the third world nations are immigrating over to these first world nations, which are, as you say, based on these particular groups that literally have created first world countries. France, England, Denmark, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Austria, Germany, Italy. What do they have in common? Well, obviously, they don't have the same things in common as those in Africa, or those in India, or China, or in South America, or certainly in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start looking at this, and I have talked about it in this book, and when the book comes out, it's in paperback, the price is the lowest price possible for the biggest, widest distribution, and I will plow any money back into this movement for the rest of my life. And the key here is this third world momentum is a part of what the third world is all about, and as it is now starting to migrate into first world countries, it's manifesting itself. And I started to put the dots together quite a few years ago, but listening to Lamb's speech last October in Washington, D.C., along with Tom Tancredo, absolutely blew my circuits out. So I picked up the book. I read it. And as I say in this review of the book, part one, have you ever noticed that it's we average citizens who know what's going on long before the politicians in the high places get wind of it? Have you noticed more and more people speaking different languages at the supermarket? How about schools, movies, at your bank? How about the people who have changed it? Press one for English, press two for Spanish, press three for Arabic. Have you noticed radio stations and TV crackling with Spanish or other languages other than English? Have you seen more people disrespecting the singing of the national anthem? Have you noticed our laws being broken, such as red lights being run, or people fleeing accident scenes where they were the cause? Have you noticed more trash in our state and national parks, especially in California, Texas, and Georgia? Have you noticed more flags being flown from other countries or from the backseats of cars instead of Old Glory? Did you know that more Mexican flags fly from houses, cars, and establishments in California more than the Stars and Stripes? Have you noticed what's happening to the Golden Bear State, to Texas, Arizona? How about Georgia or Miami, Florida? How about Michigan, Detroit? How about all the cities across this country being inundated by these illegal aliens, now at 13 million? Well, Chittum, who's been in all these wars, He was in Vietnam. He's been in quite a few other conflicts over the years. He wrote a book from his experiences that absolutely, at first you're sitting there a little bit incredulous.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you say that? I mean, this is America. Pastor Dan, this is America. We are strong. We've got the biggest army. We've got the biggest, the fittest people. We've got the most technology. We have oceans between us and a whole bunch of other bad persons, except now we have Mexico. There's no way we can get touched. And yet, when you read this book by Chittum, it just roars up like a windstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a tornado. It blows into your face, and it blows into your mind, and you start putting the dots together, and you can see that we're now watching the coming breakup of America,
mm-hmm.
our own country.
Yeah.
And he talks about how the Congress is aiding it, and how politicians are absolutely creating it, along with corporations,
mm-hmm.
along with men like Ken Lay, who finally got his just reward here this evening by being indicted for the criminal that he is.
Mm-hmm.
This man, Chittum, put this thing together, and I sat here and I said, oh my gosh, I see how it's working. And as you read the book, any American citizen, and he says, history is littered with wars which everybody knew would never happen. He says, today America fights a war 10,000 miles away while its own borders suffer an invasion so vast, so powerful, so insidiously destructive, yet so subtle, even our own citizens can't see it. Not yet, that is, Chittum writes, America was born in blood. And then he goes on, he says, the social, political, and economic forces are pulling America apart and driving her toward a bloody conflict that may fracture the nation into several different countries, he said. Riots, gangs, militia, exploding crime rates, massive immigration, rising unemployment, falling wages, these fuel the fires of war.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and he talks about empires consist of peoples of different religions, languages, cultures, races, and nationalities. And then he makes the difference between an empire and a nation. He says, nations are dominated by one group that makes up a majority of the population. Nations are unstable, while empires are always unstable.
He's reinforcing what we've talked about on this program before, if you remember, Frosty, when I talked about the etymology of the word nation. And it goes back into the ancient languages. Nation comes from the words that mean race, family, tribe. And Tom Chittum is just reinforcing what I've always said. We were strong when we were one nation, one family, one race. The majority of people here were Caucasian Christians. When that group was running the country, we were on top of things. And the reason Congress is helping to destroy this nation is because Congress is no longer made up of Caucasian Christians. It is a bunch of everything else.
Daniel?
And Stephen's on the line. Stephen, what do you want, sir?
You have Thomas from Virginia queued whenever you're ready.
Thomas is on the line?
Thomas from Virginia is on the phone waiting for you.
Oh, okay. You want to take a call, Frosty?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Put Tom on, please. Can you hear us, Tom? Tom, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you barely. But how are you doing, Frosty?
Pleasure.
You're a good patriot out there fighting and trying to wake people up to what's going on. I just kind of wanted to make the comment, basically, that I think our borders are purposely left wide open. To me, it's more proof that the war on terror isn't real. It's just a state-managed event. It's really a war on the American citizen. And we have homeland security and all these other things going on. I think it's a purposeful balkanization of America trying to create this American Union, which will basically finalize next year in the free trade area of the Americas. And it's really moving us into this world government, and I think it's purposely being done, and just like I think our government needs this, like it needs many other things that aren't good to persuade the American people into certain things. What do you think?
I would certainly agree with you, and I'll give you a quote here, and then you can take a guess of who is the leader who made this quote. Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizenry into a patriotic fervor, for patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood just as it narrows the mind, and when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind has closed, the leader will make have no need in seizing the rights of the citizenry. Rather, the citizenry infused with fear and blinded with terrorism will offer up their rights to the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done. I am Julius Caesar. There's no question. I've been down on the borders of Mexico. There is no homeland security. It is a joke. Tom Ridge getting up there in front of the nation today and saying we've got a big threat. We've got a big threat every day because he will not do anything to support or put troops on or secure the borders, and they are coming across by the thousands every day.
Well, the whole thing's a big Reichstag fire.
Yes.
More or less. I mean, it's a joke. Really, it's sad. I can't believe, I'm 31 years old, and I can't believe that everything I was brought up believing is just a big farce. And that I even, fell for it, but, after doing a lot of research, I've learned a whole different story.
The responsibility now for you at 31, and you can imagine I'm almost 60, I'm even more blown away that I never thought in my lifetime that I would have to fight for my own country inside my own country. But the fact is that both presidential candidates are doing absolutely nothing, and in fact, Kerry would even be a worse possibility than Bush, because he is pro-illegal immigration. Edwards and he would like to right now give total amnesty to all 13 million illegal aliens, which of course would draw another 13 million illegal aliens, because they will not, I want to repeat that, they will not secure the southern borders. They will not solve the problem. And so we Americans are the ones that are being overrun.
Yep.
And when you get a hold of Chittum's book, it's only, I think, $11, $12. It is a sobering, sobering read. He puts this thing together so well that what Pastor Dan has been saying and has said in the past, and the things we've been going over in the last several months together, is absolutely evident and explained in the book. He absolutely shows the self-destruction of this country by our leaders.
If you look at Bush and Kerry, they're at least ninth cousins or Skull and Bones members. I'm sure John Edwards got his marching orders from the Globalist Masters at Bilderberg 5 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they'll buddy it up at Bohemian Grove in a couple of weeks up in Monterio, California, and they can destroy our sovereignty even more and laugh about it before Moloch. I mean, the whole thing's just a nightmare.
That's correct. Well, and here's the thing, though. Now, there's some really big things happening across the nation. You're one of Americans that see this thing, so you're going to talk to 10 or 20. And then 10 or 20, you're going to show one of these pieces by writers like me that are out here exposing this thing. And then you're going to get on the Internet. Go to numbersusa.com. That's www.numbersusa.com.
Uh-huh.
Go to securedborders.usa.com. They've already reached 1.5 million signed and notarized affidavit documents that they're going to dump 50 million of them onto the White House steps here in the coming months, saying, and we demand as American citizens that the Congress and the President uphold the immigration laws of this country. So that is happening. Make sure you become a factor
for
your friends. And that's the key. And right now, we're looking for a 10-year moratorium on all immigration into this country. We're looking for deportation of 13 million illegal aliens. We're looking for English as the only language allowed to be on the airwaves, to be on TV, to be on radio, to be spoken in our schools, in documents, so that this country is soundly together and cohesively together with the one language that has kept us for 228 years a solid nation. And there's about 15 different other points in my book coming out. I just found out that Robert B. Dickerson, a former White House historian, is going to review the book. J. Grant Swank is going to. I've got dozens of top editors going to do a heck of a job of reviewing this book, so it's going to get out there. So we, as I said before, when they said Well, sir, will you
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah.
Is it true about the Chinese troops, Chinese communists training Mexicans down there in Mexico? And about the Chinese, because of course they've taken over Panama and parts of the Caribbean, supposedly. Is it true that they are
training? It is true that the Chinese are definitely moving up through Panama, and they are taking a foothold. The Chinese are taking a foothold in Vancouver, Canada. Canada doesn't realize it yet, but it's just about the Chinese in Vancouver are nothing more than a beachhead. And their numbers are multiplying fast up there, and the more they get more of themselves, the more powerful they become. And China has got it has a very good chance of taking over British Columbia.
Because I hear that they're training actual Mexican troops.
I am not aware of that particular. I have no knowledge of that.
That's just stuff I've heard. But I appreciate your time, Frosty, and I've read stuff on Rents.com and all over the internet of you, and you keep up the fight, you know. I go to Jerry Falwell's Neocon University, as I call it, Liberty Neocon University, and I try to educate the professors and students there, you know, about what's going on, you know, and the whole spectrum. And it's hard to wake people up because you hit them with a lot of information, and then they're like a deer in headlights.
Because
you're challenging their reality and challenging everything that they've known to be true, and that's a very difficult thing I'm starting to realize because I'm a psychology major.
Well, we have to bust their comfort zones, Tom.
Exactly.
That's correct, Tom. And one thing, remember this. I take lessons from Thomas Jefferson, from Susan B. Anthony, from Eleanor Roosevelt, from every great American citizen in the past who had the darkest hour. And we're right now, the hour is pretty dark, but it's not
very.
And therefore, you as an American citizen, along with your friends, our friends, we gather our American citizen, literally, united front together, and we are going to get this thing squared away. I have ultimate optimism and realism that we're going to gain back our country, because as this thing gets worse in the next 24 months, and it's going to get worse, trust me, we are going to absolutely rise up as an American electorate, and we're going to change what's going on. So that is the key. So, it's dark, but the hour is not up.
Yeah, well, we have to find alternatives to what's there now, that's for sure.
But
you have a good evening, and I appreciate you taking the call, and you take it easy too, Pastor Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. All right.
Good.
You know, one thing I would really like to share with the public, and that is, this is pretty despairing. If you're just learning about how fast this invasion is taking over this country, you're kind of shocked. And then when you start seeing it, when you start getting the dots put together, it can get pretty depressing and pretty despairing. However, the worse it gets right now, the sooner more and more Americans wake up and say, hey, we are the advocates for this country. We are the voting electorate. We are born here. Our children are the ones that are going to take the future. And we are going to sustain them. And we're going to maintain as American citizens. And so the key is I never go into despair. I never get down in the dumps over this. I simply move forward. And we're no different now than every soldier and militiaman at Valley Forge who froze his butt off. We're no different from the men of World War I or II or the Spanish-American War or the Teddy Roosevelts. We're no different from the men in the jungles of Vietnam or the deserts of Iraq. We have a heritage in this country. We created this extraordinary country. I've been around the world. I can't begin to tell you that the good old U.S. of A. is the best country in the world. Nothing's like it. Nothing ever been like it. And I don't see how anything could ever be as good as the USA. And the fact is, it's worth saving. It's worth fighting for. And at no time did Betsy Ross get depressed and give up. No time to Thomas Jefferson, no time to Susan B. Anthony or any other of all of us that are fighting for America. So that is the great lesson here, that we push forward, that we tell our friends, and that we make changes.
Well, I'm still going to stick to my suggestion to get results.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring back tarring and feathering. I still say that will get us greater results than anything else, because the two-party system has a stranglehold on this country. The Lemmings and Lemmingville, and since we've turned voting over from the educated, interested, and shakers and movers, we've turned it over to anybody over 18 that sucks air and has a body temperature of 98.6. Since we've done that, we virtually have no representation in government anymore. It's a free-for-all for the purse. So, consequently, if you want responsible leadership in Congress, you have to hold them accountable, and I can think of nothing more valuable and effective than the threat that the local people are going to take that congressperson out of their home and tar and feather them when they're found guilty of treason, when they're found guilty of going against the Constitution, when they're found guilty of backdoor deals, taking money on the side, aiding and abetting a foreign nation like Israel, doing what's best for that foreign terrorist state rather than this country, any of the above. We take that person, man or woman, and we put them in the street, put them on a rail, and cover them in hot tar and feathers. That will have a dramatic effect immediately. And until the American people are ready for that, I really don't think we're going to see effective change yet. It's starting to head that way, but our people have to get so angry about the treason and the duplicitous activities of our Congress people. They have to get so angry, they're willing to go to the street and put hot tar and feathers on these people, and that'll be good for us, and it'll be good to put a little fear back in them. Remember what it said, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. So we got to get the government fearing us again, and things won't get better until they fear us, and now we have to take a station break, so I timed that perfectly so nobody can say anything about what I just said. So let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the Internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen in to my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
And now once again, back to Pastor Dan. And Daniel?
Yes, sir.
We have an email question.
Okay. Let me just say what the title is and all that first. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Immigration Invasion Part 14 with Frosty Wooldridge from Colorado. We're basically talking about the breakup of America, the article Frosty wrote, and based on Tom Chittum's book, Civil War II, which Frosty, take note that we need to tell the folks how they can order that book before the program ends. Okay, now let's go to the email question, Steve.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine now.
Do either Dan or Frosty really think that we are going to take back our country with a peaceful solution? I believe we are too far gone. I think after a few million people are killed by CIA-staged terrorist events, maybe people will run out and buy loads of arms without going through all the paperwork and getting arms. Larry in Dallas.
Larry in Dallas. That's a good question. What, do you want to handle that one?
I can handle that one, and that's a very good question by Larry in Dallas. My brother lives in Fort Worth himself, and he's the man who rode a horse across America last year. In Chapter 3, Chittum writes, in California in 1993, 665,229 firearms were sold. That's a 1,873 firearms sold per day. Enough firearms were sold to equip an infantry battalion. For the Californians remaining in California, there's a lot of frightened people readying themselves for the conflict. This is going to be a toss-up. Is this going to be a violent retaking of the United States? My contention is this. If we Americans link arms and create a massive protest nationally to get this immigration crisis out in front and stopped, in other words, shut down the borders, put troops on the borders by millions and millions of Americans screaming, we are going to scare all those illegal aliens, literally. We're going to take away their benefits. We're going to take away their anchor babies. We're going to take away the diversity visas. We're going to take away the H-1 and L-1B visas. We're going to take those chain migration visas away. We are going to simply, as a nation, frighten them into self-deporting. And Ike did it back in the 1950s, and with his decree. And so the key here is for a nonviolent confrontation is that we, by mandate, do it now. It's going to have to be within the next 24 months, because if this thing goes much longer than the next 18 to 24 months, we're going to see such a huge amount. They've got a 20,000 member 18th Street gang right now. They've got, according to the latest Attorney General report, 500,000 illegal aliens or criminal illegal aliens, and they're all gang members in this country. And they are East Coast, West Coast, all the way down to Florida, right out to Detroit. In 28 cities, the MS Salvadorian and Honduran gangs, the MS-13, they kill cops at a drop of a hat. So we're going to have them, but if we do this methodically, it's very possible to do it with a minimum of violence, because there's still more of us in more powerful positions. If we wait much longer than 24 or 36 months, I absolutely agree that we're probably going to see some really major riot violence. Maldives, Lulac, Chirla, La Raza, are all going to be marshaling these Mexicans. There's 9.2 million of them in this country illegally, and these people are going to get pretty violent. There's no question. And California right now, it's very close to being a third world country and certainly a clone of Mexico. So he brings up a great point. You can answer it your way.
Well, I agree with what you said, Frosty. It could go either way. It depends on the people. And mm-hmm. Here again, you and I differ slightly.
Okay.
The original founding fathers were Caucasian men, and that's the people that's going to straighten this country out. It's not going to be the blacks in our nation. It's not going to be the Jews, the Hindus, the Arabs. I'm sorry.
Nope.
It's going to be our people. Our people founded this nation, and our people let it get away from us starting back in the 1900s, early 1900s, and certainly by 1965 when Jacob Javits, the Jew, and his henchmen in Congress were instrumental in dismantling our immigration policy. Therefore, if you follow the trail of who has been dismantling the foundational blocks of this nation that has caused us to fall apart, you're going to find out it is everybody else besides the Christian Caucasian man who founded this nation. And those guys, when they finally get their heads out of their dark sides and stick together and come together and decide they've had enough of this garbage, then you're going to see change. Now, whether it's violent or nonviolent, who knows? But that group of people had better figure out who they are, where they came from, where we're going, how this all fits in with Scripture, because this is a spiritual battle going on, and figure out we are the sons of the Most High, and it's our job to set this straight. Now, that's the key group. If that group continues to sit on their butts and let every non-white rule our nation, let our women rule over our men, let our children rule over our men, if they continue to let that happen, nothing is going to change. So it's key to what that group in this country does. If there's enough men in that group with backbone and stones in their sacks that they want to get something done, then it's going to change. But if that group continues to play the wuss and sit back and take it and not do anything about it, then nothing's going to change, because these other groups are not going to save us, Frosty. That's where, I'm a little bit different in what you're saying. These other groups are not going to save our bacon. I'm sorry. This group that I'm talking about, the original Americans, the founders and their posterity, which is you and me, Frosty, right out of Scripture, the lost tribes of Israel, if we don't get our act together and straighten this mess out, it ain't ever going to get fixed.
I'm firmly in agreement with you there, because it is going to get down to those of us who literally love this country, are this country, founded this country, sustained this country. If it's not us, we're in trouble.
Now, I got a question for you, Frosty. It was several years ago when I read Tom's book, Civil War II, and he was a guest on this program. So, like I said, it's been a good almost 3 years now, maybe more. I don't remember, but maybe you do, since you just read it. What did Tom predict is going to happen? based on his military experience and after writing the book and doing the research, what did he predict?
Well, he actually predicted the time and the day that this thing's going to start, and he definitely predicted violence and war. He predicts the literally, as a matter of fact, I've got it right here. As I said before, and I've talked about it, the colonias,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have 20 million Mexicans and South and Central Americans in utter squalor and poverty. On our side of the border, there's over a million of them right now from Brownsville, Texas, all the way to San Diego, California. They have no water, no electricity, no sewage, no sanitation, no roads. It's simply a giant shantytown. And in 2 weeks, I'll have on my website, frostywoolridge.com, I'm doing at cost. You can see a 45-minute video of the nightmare on the border. And those slums, which have all the diseases you can imagine, are predicted by the New York Times to reach 20 million by 2021. And then he says, right here, I'll just quote it for you. Here's when this thing's going to start. How dangerous are these third world colonial slums? Eventually all of Southern California will be a vast third world colonial slum, and dead center of the 100 mile by 100 mile LA colonia will be the epicenter and ground zero of Civil War II. Based on the mutual reinforcement and therefore certain acceleration of the trends listed above, I expect Civil War II will shift into its all-out continuous military phase sooner than the above figures indicate. Not to be accused of stinginess, I'll even give the exact date and time. The year will be 2020. The date will be the 5th of May. The time will be about midnight. The state will be California. The city will be Los Angeles. And the place where it's going to start is Ruben Salazar Park.
Wow, I didn't remember him being that precise. I do know he had a list of 18 or so items in the back of the book that said could accelerate the demise of this country.
Oh, you're right on the money.
And if I remember right, we have virtually all of those things going on, don't we?
That's correct. I can go over those right now. His projections are 1 and 2, demographics. Year America has a non-white majority, 2050. Year border states have a Hispanic majority, 2031. The shrinking hourly wage. And then, of course, he goes over to projections 4, foreigners hold most of the federal debt. Projection 5, the 20 million in the third world slums. And yes, he does have these conversions of what's happening. And he talks about each one of these points. And I actually touch on them in this article that will be coming in the Washington Dispatch on Monday or Tuesday, or even might come in tomorrow.
That's WashingtonDispatch.com, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the address for this book, for anyone who wants to purchase it, it's about, I think it's $9.95 or $10, American Eagle Publications, Post Office Box 1507, Sholo, Arizona, which I've ridden my bicycle through on a cross-continent trip.
How do you spell Sholo?
S-H-O-W, next word, L-O-W, two words.
Oh, okay. Sholo, okay.
It's a gambling town.
Sholo. Oh.
It's a fun little town. It's in the middle of the sticks, it's desert, and it's nothing but coyotes and lizards.
Okay.
Arizona, 85901. And if you want the ISBN number, you can probably get it on Amazon.com. And the ISBN number, 0-92-9408-17-9.
Okay.
And it's a copyright by William Chittum, C-H-I-T-T-U-M. Copyright 1996. This book will literally connect the dots for any American. Hopefully the second part of the review will come out either tomorrow on Washington Dispatch or Monday. And it will absolutely sober you to the fact that this invasion is not going so slowly anymore. It was started slowly in 1965 when Teddy Kennedy started the whole thing with the LBJ. But it is now in full swing, and it is now... It is gaining more. It is gaining more power than we have to stop it.
Now, I want to put a quick note out here for the listeners. For those folks who belong to our archive site, you can go to February 11th, year 2000. So that's over 4 years ago that I interviewed Tom Chittum. February 11th, year 2000, and it was entitled Civil War II, and it was my interview with Tom Chittum, where he will discuss a lot of the things, and good grief, being over 4 years ago, a lot has happened that makes Tom Chittum almost a prophet. So if you belong to the archive site or you join it, just have Steve make arrangements so you can hear the program from February 11th, year 2000. You'll get a whole hour of Tom talking about his book, which would dovetail very nicely with what we're talking about tonight, Frosty.
Oh, there's no question about that, and I give examples in this thing. Notice how Mexican President Fox dictates to our leaders what they will do with his 13 million legal immigrants in our country.
Mm-hmm.
He's right up there in Chicago and Wisconsin right now saying that they have to have driver's licenses and we have to give this to him, that he is shipping in Spanish textbooks so that we can teach his illegal aliens in our schools Spanish history, Spanish language, Spanish everything else. He has now got, just opened one a month ago, 46 Mexican consulates in our cities around America supporting his people in our country with fraudulent IDs, matricular ID cards, fraudulent, any kind of fraudulent identification for his people, pushing for driver's licenses, pushing for more free assisted housing. He's even pushing for more illegal aliens to get higher wages. I mean, this man is a bold, third world, cunning as a fox, if you will, if I can use the word fox. He's also pushing for voting rights for illegal aliens in our country. And I mean, and Chittum literally shows this in this book. And what he goes on to talk about the gangs and how they are arming themselves and how they are absolutely meticulous in their violence. And of course, I talk about it in my book. So, I mean, I research this stuff. You have to understand, I am a research nut. Everything in this book was researched to the T. I didn't put anything in the book unless it was absolutely a fact. The 18th Street Gang in Los Angeles owns the streets. The cops are afraid to go in there. They literally will kill a cop in a heartbeat, and they run all of the drug trafficking, the extortions of businesses, prostitutes, and robberies daily. That's the 20,000 member 18th Street Gang of Los Angeles, and 60% are illegal aliens, and the other 40% are legal immigrants. What this is ethnic sympathy. The illegals will be harbored by the legals because they're all the same. It's a tribal thing. It's a group thing.
Gee, you mean race matters?
Son of a gun.
Yeah, they're going to stick together. What other common denominator do these folks have other than the fact they're the racial commonality?
Well, they also have a very other strong commonality, and that is most of them are illiterate.
Well, that's true too. But I'm just saying that they want to take it back to Mexico. It's not because of their affinity for Arabs or Chinamen or Jews or anybody else. They want it for their people. Imagine that. They want to do something for their people. But we're supposed to sit back, throw up our arms, and go, oh, well, come on in, folks. I'll tell you what the proper response should be to Vicente Fox. The proper response should be, Mr. Fox, if you love your people, you will tell them to be out of my country in the next 24 hours because I am sending my troops your way, and on the way from their military bases to the Mexican border, if they find one of your people in our country, they will be shot. Period. 24 hours, Vicente. Get them the hell out, because they're going to get shot if they're found here at 24 hours later. That's the response that should be given to that twerp in Mexico, and instead of the cowards that we've got in our Congress today. Unbelievable. We're over there telling other people how to run their nations when they don't want us there, and our military should be here with bayonets fixed, pushing these invaders out of our country. That's what should be done.
Well, tell us how you really feel, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm sorry. I just, it just crossed my
And I understand. I'm probably a little bit more moderate at this point in time because I feel that we can do this thing lawfully and by the rule of law, and that we have to do it firmly, because if we don't do it firmly and by the rule of law at this point in time, it is going to get down to that form of violence. And so...
Well, here's my question, Frosty. How do we do it lawfully when the people we elect and pay the salaries of to obey the law don't obey the law?
Again, I'll go back to the fact that only 50% of American citizens, and for the last 35 years, have voted the president into office, and only 50% have voted the senators and the congressmen, and only 20% of the local elections have elected mayors, and certainly city councils and so forth, and even down to as low as 5% election rates. And so what has happened is that the corporations have bought off all these people, and now they're out of our control. They're in the back pockets of corporations, and of course they're into their whole good old boys club. So what it means is that now American citizens must get back into this Republican form of government and start electing those who will represent us. But in the meantime, they've got to start screaming from the rooftops, writing letters, yelling at the TV stations, and absolutely demanding every day, not just once a month or once every 6 months,
Daniel,
but getting on the factor with numbersusa.com. I have an action list on my website, frostywooldridge.com. The key is that the worst decision you can make is to think that you can do so little that you do nothing at all.
Yep. Hey, we got Steve on the line. Go ahead, Steve.
We have another email question.
Another email question. Let's go.
I guess it's more of a comment. You do take pros and con comments, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Dan and your guest, you both have no clue of what true Israelites are. The Native American, including the Aztec Indians, came from the seed of Joseph. I feel hate in your voices. This is not the love of our Creator Yahweh. I'm a Nazarene Israelite. You are Cretan Christians, which follow pagan name and pagan terms. The true Israel abstained from calling themselves Cretans / Christian and using God, Jesus, Lord, or God. Joseph Gomez.
Who?
Joseph Gomez.
Joseph Gomez?
That's what it's saying.
Well, I'm sorry, but if he thinks that flesh-eating, cannibalistic Aztecs are descendants of the tribes of Israel, that guy has been smoking something other than cigarettes for lunch. Sorry, you know, I know who true Israel is, and if Mr. Gomez disagrees, then he has a right to disagree, but I've got volumes and volumes here and thousands of hours of research, and besides, the indigenous Indians, when the Spaniards got here, were doing all kinds of heinous things. That's a matter of archived records. The Cortez and his entourage were appalled at what the indigenous populations were doing here. And if this person thinks that that is a sign of a true Israelite peoples that were here, he's greatly mistaken. Now, there were Israelites here many years ago, and they became the Celtic Indians east of the Mississippi River, as evidenced in the Ohio Valley by the mounds that they built, which are identical to the burial mounds in Europe. Gaelic-speaking Indians in the Tennessee River Valley, different, all kinds of examples of those Israelite Indians. But as far as South America and Central America, Mr. Gomez, you're out to lunch. And if you disagree, again, that's fine. But
I would like to make one point, Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
I am not a person who hates. I have no hate for the desperate masses that are coming into this country for the reasons they're coming. My concern is that our children are at risk for these people who are breaking our laws. This is a lawful nation. I cannot and do not hate, because I have seen so much pain in the world from my travels. I've certainly traveled through Asia and watched the misery of Bangladesh, China, India, South America, across the most horrible places on the planet. I've seen the stuff I have in my book. It's called The Human Suffering Index. I've seen so much of it. If you go through Africa, my God, it's just unbelievable the terror that's going on in Africa. So my concern here is that this country is importing a crisis that will be, once the numbers are here, irreversible, unsolvable. We will not be able to stop the disease, the violence, and all the things that we've built up here. And so my stance is to that of lawful entry into this country, and to this country is sustaining itself into the future for our children, and that this country was built by our sweat, blood, and tears, and that we have a command and an obligation and a right to preserve our country for future generations and still continue to be a beacon of light and promise to the world, so that they also can literally imitate us to bring their populations into the educational realms, into the peaceful realms, into the light of law and the enlightenment of a first world nation. That is my total reason for doing all this. Personally, if this wasn't going on right now, I would be writing my next book on my next adventure. It's just that I'm concerned for every child in the future in this country. So there is no hate in my mind or my life, because I appreciate every human being on the planet. I don't care what their race, creed, or color is, as long as they are a human being that's doing the best they can in their lives, and they're living a life that has integrity and has honor and has a sense of appreciation for God and all the many creations on this planet.
Well, okay.
That's just me. You know,
yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but see, I got a problem with the fact that we're not supposed to hate. I got a problem with that.
Here's another word. It's, I don't like to put that kind of energy.
Yes, senseless hating, I agree. But, you know, even the scriptures in Psalm 26, verse 5, I hate the company of sinners. That's right out of the scripture. David said, I hate the enemies of my Heavenly Father, Yahweh, with a perfect hatred. We're supposed to hate evil. So, you know, it's another one of these politically correct things is I'm not supposed to use the word hate. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be this milquetoast believer and never hate anything. Well, I do hate things. I hate rapists. I hate invaders. I hate murderers. I hate those who disparage our Heavenly Father and His laws. I hate people who deceive and lie and cheat and steal. I hate preachers that preach a false doctrine as if it's the true word. Those sorts of things. And maybe hate's a strong word, but after all, it's just how I feel about it. And I wasn't watching the time. We ran out of time, Frosty.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you would, though, I need to give you some contact information, so stay on the line.
Okay.
Thanks for listening in, folks. We enjoyed the email questions, and Tom for calling in. And even Joseph or whatever, you know, you disagree, that's fine. You know, you have a right to disagree. So thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be with you tomorrow night at 8. In the meantime, stay strong and hallelujah.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen into my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Hi, Steve Quayle for Renaissance Precious Metals. I'd like to draw your attention to palladium, the most overlooked precious metal for your financial consideration. Palladium was discovered by William Wollaston in 1803 and named after the asteroid of the same name. Palladium has the unusual ability to absorb 900 times its weight in hydrogen, making it necessary for fuel cells and cold fusion. Palladium is used in telecommunications equipment, electrical relays, and catalyzing cracked petroleum products. Palladium's price has exceeded platinum when 2 years ago it reached $1,100 per ounce. I've been recommending palladium to my listening audience for several years now, when it was only $125 per ounce. Palladium will become the wise choice of astute investors. If you'd like to find more out about purchasing palladium, call me, Steve, at 406-586-4840. That's 406-586-4840.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.